MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, Score Big has all the sports tickets you want at up to 60% off. It's easy to use. I've used it myself. All you got to do is log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Score Big icon. Score Big, the lead pipe lock for great game tickets. Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. How about this Aaron Hernandez, Ryan?
Whoa.
All right, first off, we'll jump into this Aaron Hernandez case. Real quick, just want to thank Score Big for coming on to support the Sports Gambling Podcast. And, yeah, if you guys want sports tickets, you go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and hit that Score Big link. And, yeah, I mean, I've used Score Big twice already. I found out about it by listening to another podcast. And, it's really simple, really easy to use. I have four tickets to go see the Dodgers play the Phillies.
What was the face value of that, Sean?
Face value was $80, right? Oh. I paid $24.
Wow.
Came via FedEx, no fees. There really is no gimmick. It's just one of these things where, hey, you go in there, it's easy. You go in there, you set a bid, basically, for how much you want to pay for the tickets. If you get a big group of tickets, they're all together. And you say, you know, hey, this is what I'm willing to pay. And they'll even show you, like, a bar, basically, whether or not your bid will be accepted, kind of like a red or green, what percentage chance you have being accepted. If you're not accepted, you can just rebid on that same game 24 hours later.
That's pretty cool.
No, I mean, it's... I just honestly use it. It's cool. I was telling people about it even before they signed up to kind of be an affiliate. So make sure you check that out. And shout out to people already picking up the Sports Gambling Podcast t-shirts. You can get that at the website. Same type of thing. You just hit merch. We have two sizes. Very simple. Large, extra large. Send it over with PayPal. $20 a shirt. That includes the shipping. Obviously, if you're in the continental U.S., overseas, we're going to have to charge you a little bit more. But just put in your address in the PayPal form, and we're good to go. But all right, Ryan, let's get into it. We have NHL Finals Game 7, NBA Game Finals Game 7 to recap. But first, Aaron Hernandez. Now, we had talked, I think, last week on the podcast that it didn't look good for Mr. Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, I'm not I don't work in the criminal justice world. But it seemed pretty obvious to me last week that he, at a minimum, sat in the car while this person was executed.
Yes, the DA is basically claiming he orchestrated the execution. Now, this is recording this Wednesday. He was arrested and released from the Patriots this morning.
Yep.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy story.
I think we should just go through the timeline.
Yeah, Yahoo put out a great little article where they basically put together all the information from these different sources, created a timeline, or maybe it's from the DA directly. But Ryan, walk us through the timeline, and not looking good for
it. So the timeline of events was extracted from surveillance video, cell phone records, and cell phone towers that the prosecution has put together. So this sounds like...
Wait, Ryan, how could they get that information? He broke his cell phone.
Yeah, so I think the one... you might say the thesis of this whole thing is essentially that Aaron Hernandez is not very smart.
Well, yeah, obviously if you're a murderer, you're not intelligent. That's not true. Well, yeah, I guess they take
Can we have a quick sidebar? Because one man who was a murderer and quite smart, Chijinsky or whatever his name was, the Iceman.
Oh, okay.
They're making a movie.
Oh, really?
For those of you who haven't seen this, go check out the trailer, but... Yeah, I mean, there's ways to be smart about things, and there's ways to not be smart. And it's almost like Aaron Hernandez has not watched any any movie about crime, any TV show about crime. It's like, I truly believe that he thought breaking his cell phone would prevent them from seeing his text messages.
It's weird because it's so obvious. We'll go through the timeline. It's obvious it's premeditated, but he didn't premeditate any basic attempt at a cover-up. Yeah. It's one of the more bizarre things I've seen.
So we'll start with June 16th, 9:02 p.m. I'm guessing these times are East Coast times, local time. Hernandez texts a friend out of state saying, please make it back. Hernandez then texts at 9:05 p.m., texts Odin Lloyd, the victim, that he wants to get together. It's like a sit-down, like the mob style. We're going to make you. And then Joe Pesci gets shot and Robert De Niro cries and it's this whole thing. 9:35 p.m. Hernandez texts a friend in Connecticut that says, get your ass up here. Hernandez texts that same friend, hurry your ass up. At this point, McCauley indicated that Hernandez recently had 14 surveillance cameras installed in his home.
Recently.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, why would you... Video from the cameras show two men arriving at Hernandez's home in North Attleboro. I've actually been to North Attleboro, Sean. Later footage shows Hernandez with a firearm. At one point, Hernandez says to one of the men that he, quote, can't trust anyone anymore, according to McCauley. McCauley is the county prosecutor. All right. So at this point, all right, it seems like he's getting something together, right? He's getting the gang back together, so to speak.
The boys are back in town.
Yeah. Yeah. So moving on to June 17th. 1:12 a.m., the three men, the two friends, the out-of-state friend and the friend in Connecticut, along with Odin, just the two friends and Hernandez, depart Hernandez's home in a silver Nissan Altima, according to surveillance video, cell phone towers and cell phone records. Cell towers track their movement south on Interstate 95. At some point, they turn around, then head north before stopping at a gas station on Route 128. 2:10 a.m., Hernandez buys gas, a pack of Bubblicious gum, and rolling papers. 2:32 a.m.
That's just funny in and of itself.
So this is the same night, obviously. We've gone from June 17th at night to June 17th early morning. 2:32 a.m., the silver Altima arrives at Odin Lloyd's house, the victim. Hernandez sends a text message, we're here. Lloyd's sister watches Odin Lloyd leave the house and get into the silver Altima. Neighborhood surveillance video shows Hernandez arriving in the neighborhood as well. Surveillance video tracks the car around Boston. McCauley explains that during the ride back from toward North Attleboro, Hernandez tells Lloyd that when they were at the club, rumors the previous Friday night, certain things upset him, quote unquote, including Lloyd.
Now this is important because
this is motive.
Well, this is motive, and there's no text record or anything of this.
Yeah,
this in my mind, this means that one of the two other guys is providing the information.
Yeah.
Also, I think they're both...
Yeah, someone's already flipped on Hernandez.
I think they're both cooperating witnesses because why else would their names be withheld?
Yeah, exactly. Why would they be called a friend, an out-of-state friend and a friend in Connecticut?
Yeah, why would they not release these guys' names?
Because they flipped. They got scared, and that's how it works. Including Lloyd talking to some people Hernandez had quote-unquote troubles with. McCauley did not indicate how he obtained this information. Obviously, he flipped the two friends.
Yeah.
Or at least one of the friends. It's classic. You get the three guys, you get two of them in a room, and you say the other one's flipping on you.
And also, you say to them, listen, this guy, Aaron Hernandez, millions and millions of dollars. He's going to get a really good lawyer.
Yeah.
Now, they're going to be able to pin this on you if you don't cooperate with us.
They're going to destroy your character. Your only chance is to preemptively strike. Prosecution says the text indicates the temperature in the car. I don't fully understand that. The quote, temperature in the car.
I think maybe that it's hostile.
All right. 3:07 a.m. Lloyd texts his sister, did you see who I was with? McCauley suggests that this indicates the temperature in the car. Lloyd did not receive a response. Lloyd texts his sister again, quote-unquote, hello. Lloyd's sister responds, quote, my phone was dead. Who, question mark, end quote. Lloyd responds, NFL. That must be code for Aaron Hernandez. Lloyd, then at 3:23, just so you know, quote-unquote. By this point,
just so you know, is probably he notices something going wrong. Yeah.
By this point,
how do you not just do something?
Well,
what do you do?
Aaron Hernandez is a large man. I mean, at this, there might have been a struggle, and he might have gotten just
owned. That's why he had a couple other guys with him.
By this point, the four men inside the Silver Altima. Again, this is at 3:23 a.m. The four men inside the Silver Altima have gotten off I-95 on Route 152 near Hernandez's home. McCauley says the record show. Again, at 3:23 a.m., McCauley says surveillance video shows the Altima at a fork in the road. McCauley indicates that one way leads to Hernandez's home, the other down a gravel road where Lloyd's body would later be found. Video shows Hernandez's car going down that gravel road behind a group of industrial buildings. 3:23 to 3:27 a.m., people working the overnight in the industrial park hear gunshots. 3:27 a.m., Silver Altima is viewed coming out of the gravel road. 3:29 a.m., video at Hernandez's home shows the Silver Altima pulling into his driveway. McCauley states that the distance between where Lloyd's body was found and Hernandez's home is a two-minute drive, the exact amount of time between when the Silver Altima was viewed coming down the gravel road and when it showed up back at Hernandez's home. All right, this last section is called the crime scene. So that's the end of the timeline. Crime scene. According to McCauley, police found five shell casings, three at Lloyd's feet, two at some distance away. An autopsy shows two wounds to the chest, one near the left nipple, the other near the right nipple. Lloyd did not appear to be robbed, as he still had his wallet, phone, and keys. McCauley explained that Hernandez returned the Altima to a rental car agency with the driver's side mirror missing. A worker at the rental agency discovered a shell casing under the driver's seat next to a Bubblicious wrapper, which he bought previously in the night. The shell casing and the gum wrapper were tossed in the garbage bin where the police later found it.
Now, that's a crazy... Oh, never mind. I thought it was the employee tossed it in the... Aaron Hernandez must have tossed it when he was returning it. Or maybe the employee tossed it. That was the one part that I was confused.
Now, it appears that the rental car worker threw it out. Like, he was just cleaning the car. Maybe he didn't know it was a shell casing.
I guess there's
many reasons people might have... I mean, people make necklaces out of gun shell casings.
Right.
So, That doesn't automatically say, oh, something horrible must have happened. I'm going to call the cops. In fact, I'm sure the cops would have – who knows what would have happened. Anyway, after McCauley finished, Hernandez's defense team requested their client be granted bail based on the prosecution's reliance on circumstantial evidence. This is pretty strong circumstantial evidence.
Yeah.
It is at bottom a circumstantial case, Hernandez's attorney, Michael Fee, told the court. Who, if you want to have some fun, go Google Michael Fee. He looks a lot like Peter King, like strikingly similar. It's not a strong case. Bail was denied, and Hernandez, who stood expressionless through most of the arraignment, remained in custody.
Yeah, also, I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing people saw the picture where he's wearing a shirt, but his arms aren't through the sleeves, which means...
He refused to put a shirt on,
and then the police just threw the shirt on for him, and he looks like a retard. Also, if you go on Twitter right now, the people have just been keep retweeting different chicks who say Aaron Hernandez is sexy. It's really pretty
funny. So the top comment on this on Yahoo is pretty funny. So in a four-minute span, a car carrying Lloyd goes down a road with three others in the car. Gunshots are heard, and three men leave the area in the same car. Shell casings were found at the scene and in the car. Lloyd's body was found 2 minutes down the road. Even OJ wasn't this sloppy.
Yeah, seriously. All right, Ryan, I got my phone out in front of me because we were just talking about Twitter. Aaron Hernandez is on Twitter.
No, is he tweeting?
No. Uh-huh. Well, it is hilarious to go back and look at his timeline. This all started June 16th, right? Basically.
So, according to this, June 16th at 9:02 p.m. is when he texts his out-of-state friend saying, please make it back.
June 16th, Aaron Hernandez tweeted at some point, I'm guessing earlier in the day.
Do they not have an exact timestamp?
Let me see if I can. 11:36 a.m.
Okay.
Happy Father's Day to all the great dads out there.
Hey, a lot of people are men of two faces.
And then June 18th, 8:12 a.m. Now, that is basically he murdered the guy allegedly, what, June 17th?
So, yeah, basically the timeline of when shit went down was between June 16th at 9:02 p.m. and June 17th at 3:29 a.m. So you're saying the following day, June 18th.
At 8:12 a.m., he tweeted, good morning.
Okay. So clearly a sociopath, right?
Yep. Just, oh, man.
That's anyway, it's pretty crazy. It's really, I mean, I was talking with some folks at work today. Like, this has never happened in my lifetime. I mean, OJ is the only thing I can remember, right? But that was a retired player.
Well, I mean, Ray Lewis, right?
Well, but even that, like we talked about before the podcast, it was a little different in that it was clearly, you know, maybe he was involved, maybe he wasn't. He was, at the end of the day, he paid the family in civil court, but he was let go, or he was, all the charges were dropped.
Well, here's the thing.
And it wasn't premeditated, right?
Yeah, I think the difference with Ray Lewis was it wasn't premeditated. And it was spontaneous. It was done with a screwdriver. And these guys, by all accounts, accosted Ray Lewis and his two friends outside of the club.
You know, I just thought of another similar case that seemed to shockingly just disappear off the radar, which was the Marvin Harrison deal.
Yeah.
That actually seems like it might be a little more on par with this.
No, definitely.
But this guy, Marvin Harrison, was at the tail end of his... This guy just signed... I sent this to you earlier in the day. August 27th, 2012, the Patriots and I announced that they signed him to a $40 million extension through 2018, of which $16 million was guaranteed. That's less than a year ago.
Yeah, he donated $50,000 to the Mara Kraft Foundation. Robert Kraft was tearing up saying what a great guy he was and that years ago he would have looked at his tattoos and judged him a certain way, but now he's glad he's not prejudiced. Man,
yeah.
I mean, just laughing just at the absurdity. And Aaron Hernandez, Ryan, all he had to do was not commit murder in a sloppy fashion. He could have, Dante Soller, he could have ran over someone with his car. He could have beat up his wife, multiple DUIs. He could have probably hired someone to murder this guy.
Yeah.
He could have literally done everything except actually murder him and do it in such a sloppy manner where it's going to be a real struggle to produce data.
Yeah. I think that the summary of what you just said is that Aaron Hernandez is good enough at a sport, this being football, that he could have survived probably multiple abuses of a wife or girlfriend.
Yes.
Multiple DUIs.
Heroin.
I mean, is he even in a strict state like New York when it comes to gun laws? Like, he might have been able to survive a Plaxico Burress type incident.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Plaxico Burress survived a Plaxico Burress incident.
supposedly, I think... Now, this is just purely speculation, but I knew the Bengals were one of the teams that supposedly reached out to Aaron Hernandez's agent after the news that
he was
released.
Oh, no. Oh, too soon. Yeah, I was thinking he might be a sleeper this year in fantasy.
Cincinnati Bengals? Hard knocks.
Did we talk about that yet?
Was that
announced last pod? Yeah, yes. The Cincinnati Bengals have announced they are the Hard Knocks team. Coming back to what you said about tattoos, did you see the news yesterday about John Wall?
Yeah.
This reporter came out and said that the Washington Wizards should not give John Wall a big extension because he originally said that he doesn't have tattoos because of his image, and now there was a picture of him on Twitter with tattoos. That's ridiculous. I mean, John Wall doesn't seem to get in any – I mean, he hasn't murdered anyone.
I think a lot of it is the guy was just trying to basically take out his frustration against Gilbert Arenas on John Wall.
Yeah.
Which seems unwarranted.
It almost seems like a borderline, like, obviously, I'm surprised there wasn't, race was not brought into the...
Well, I think what he would have been labeled a much bigger racist, but the guy is black himself. He's a younger black guy, columnist. So,
That's just one of those, like, who's that fat guy that reports for
Jason
Fox?
Jason Whitlock.
It's like Whitlock syndrome, where you want to, like, you just want to, like, shock people with your state. Like, look, I'm black and I'm taking down black people.
Like, yeah. It's like the Bill Cosby angle.
Listen, you know what?
I get it. I understand. You're in media. You're in podcasting. You're writing a column. You want to get clicks. He got plenty of attention. You want to say something that's contrarian. But at some point, you can't just be contrarian without any sort of interesting angle behind it.
And speaking of, I meant to bring this up earlier, but one other thing that's been annoying me this week is, obviously, the build, this has been going on for, what, 8 days now? The build-up, what really pisses me off, now, locally out here, we have the privilege of getting to listen to Jay Moore every morning as a sports talk radio host, which I think you like him more than I do, Sean.
Yeah, no, I like
him. I think he's horrible. But then again, I not like I love Colin Cowherd either.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, Dan Patrick's show is great, but anyway.
Yeah. I really like the
traditional, like the guys who do like the LA mornings. It's Colin Cowherd and I think Jay Moore starts at like 8 a.m.
He starts at 9.
The whole it's not just Jay Moore, cuz I've heard this from a lot of people. They come out and they're like, you know, we know this looks serious, but I don't speak in uncertainties. In this country, you are innocent until proven guilty. I don't need to be talking about rumors and hearsay. And it's like, no, wait a second. What are you talking about? Like, no, you have to. This guy clearly committed this crime. I mean, look.
Yeah,
I'm not a detective. I'm not a lawyer.
Paranoid. They're just paranoid about libel. And they're also paranoid about losing guests, really. I mean, that's a big part of it. You don't want to get up on your soapbox. Listen, Ray, you know, all those guys who bash Tiger? Guess who's not getting a Tiger interview? And if you're the columnist for like a PGA blog, that's a big get. So these guys are very hesitant to come out against these people because they want to get the interview.
Huge difference. I would have never bashed Tiger if I was in that position. He wasn't doing anything illegal. So it's like personal stuff is one thing. You want to joke about the guy's personal life? That's your own. Yeah, you might not get an interview with him. But we're talking about criminal charges where there's substantial evidence and a alleged warrant for his arrest. Yeah, you're allowed to talk about, and then all this stuff comes out how he was again. You know, you can report on the fact that teams were afraid to draft him because of his quote unquote ties with gangs.
Yeah,
you're allowed to say that. Don't be a pussy. These guys are such. God, Colin Cowherd's a pussy. Jay Moore's a pussy. Mm. And you know what, Colin Cowherd? Did you see how he came out in support? Not full on in support, but he didn't have a problem with what that corporation in New Hampshire is doing. It was suing for the rights to the patent podcast or whatever.
No, I didn't see he supported that.
He made like an off. I didn't see it get reported after the fact, but I was listening to the show and he was like, "Look, if people want to do that, they can. That's their own business." And it's like, "Well, wait a second. This is the medium you work in. Wouldn't you be opposed to someone just?"
Yeah, I don't know.
Kind of digress there.
I didn't hear that comment, but. Well, also,
they're certainly coming after us, Sean.
Yeah, look out.
All the money we're making.
Well, the Sports Gambling Podcast t-shirts, the Score Big affiliation. Yeah. Ryan, what I don't understand is he didn't grow up in a rough neighborhood. He went out of his way to kind of – he grew up in Bristol, Connecticut. He kind of seemingly –
Is that not a rough neighborhood? I don't know.
No. It's
I know – all I know –
He grew up in like a decent part of Bristol, Connecticut.
All I know about Bristol is that there – I mean, have you ever been to Bristol?
No.
I've driven by it, well, near it. And it appears to just be one massive campus for ESPN.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it was like, you know, 10 years ago.
I don't know. I'm just going off reports. Yeah. It sounds like his dad passed away. His dad had hernia surgery when he was 16 and just randomly passed away from complications of it. And maybe that kind of – but he seemed like a guy who wasn't a product of his environment but almost went out of his way to seek this, like, tough guy affiliation. TMZ just shared a photo of him – a selfie, quote-unquote, with the iPhone holding a Glock 9mm or something when he was 19 years old, like a selfie in the mirror.
Yeah. So you're saying it's nurture over nature?
Yeah, I'm saying he almost went out of his way to become this gangster character. It's bizarre that you...
Well, it also could be like I don't know the demographic of the area, but it could be that he was a, you know, if he was in a nice area, maybe he was a minority and he was looking to hang out with people that were more like him.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
You have that you know, angle, but
I understand spinning rims, rap music, smoking some blunts, kind of living that lifestyle, but I don't need... Why would you kill this guy? Why not just beat him up?
Well,
he seemingly had no problem beating
up
guys
thing,
or
right?
intimidating him with a gun. Why do you actually have to go through it?
It's just, you're a rich guy. You pay other people to do stuff for you.
Yeah. I mean,
whether it's hold your gun or rent the car that you're going to go murder someone in or.
Yeah. Look at, take a cue from Snoop Dogg. His tour bus got stopped by like federal authorities near the Mexican border, and one guy claimed ownership to 14 pounds of pot.
Yeah, you have that guy.
The guy was out on bail later that day.
You got to have a patsy on your payroll.
Snoop Dogg doesn't need that. Now, Ryan, let's take a look at it from a gambling perspective and how this will affect the New England Patriots. The week one line already moved from 7.5 to -7, Patriots in Buffalo.
So a half point.
Yeah, half point. And seeming, I think it went from against the Jets, -12 Patriots, to -10.
Course, well, I think the big one would be the fact that the Patriots are now 8-1 to win the Super Bowl. It seems, I think the team that and the Broncos dropped, that's the thing that I would, if I was someone looking to maybe make a play here, who in the AFC is going to challenge the Broncos now?
What are we talking about in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I think the Broncos' greatest challenge is themselves.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So maybe that's the value. If you're looking for value in this, maybe it's...
Well, I thought there was value in the under of Patriots 11.5 wins.
Well, you ain't going to get that anymore.
That was before this happened. Now I think the move is to take the Patriots to win the division and possibly the Super Bowl. I think this is actually going to galvanize the Patriots, Ryan.
Nope.
You disagree.
No, I'll tell you why.
Will this help
or
hurt the
Patriots? I'll tell you why.
I think this will help them.
I am a close watcher of all things Boston because I want to see them all fail.
Yes.
So the vibe out of Boston, so you can say, let's start with their demise with the Celtics kind of collapsing this year, and then they lose Doc Rivers. Wes Welker goes and signs with the Broncos.
And gets hair plugs.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. I'm cool with him getting hair plugs. I got no. I mean, I don't need hair plugs, but I.
It's kind of a douchey move.
Whatever.
Especially when
you want to
have a super
look,
high.
Sean. You go watch what you put on tape right now, okay?
One day I'm gonna get hair plugs.
It's just saying you want to watch what you get caught saying. You know. You don't want to be coined a flip flopper. But the spin always out of the Patriots fan was, we don't need Welker. We have Hernandez and Gronk. They're the real keys to the team. Guess what? Hernandez is gone now. So now people are like, oh, Tebow's going to be tight end. I ask you a question. Maybe I already spoiled this by telling you this before the podcast, but what percent of Aaron Hernandez's snap was he lined up on the line of scrimmage as a tight end?
Oh, no, you didn't tell me that. Jeez, I don't know.
Just take a wild guess.
Where he was lined up as a traditional tight end?
Traditional tight end.
20%.
Yeah, it was a little higher than that. It was like 27%. The rest of the time he was lined up as a wideout or in the backfield.
Yeah.
So, Jake Ballard is coming back. Of course, one of the heroes of the Giants run in 2011 who tore his ACL in the Super Bowl that year against the Patriots. Hasn't played since. He will clearly be their week one starting tight end.
Yes.
Gronk will come back eventually.
But now maybe
the
Tebow.
Running back snaps, maybe Tebow comes in a little bit. Maybe they do have a lot of running backs. But I think the big thing is they've always been able to have shitty outside wide receivers because Wes Welker and Aaron Hernandez were so good, and Gronk. Now you're talking about Gronk maybe not playing for the first 6 weeks. Wes Welker's not there. Can Danny Amendola be that same guy?
And Brandon Lloyd.
But Brandon Lloyd, he was all right, but part of the reason he did anything... I mean, Brandon Lloyd had been cut many times in his career because he wasn't that good.
Yeah, but Ryan, listen, I agree with you. But here's the thing. A lot of this
the line moved to 11, by the way. Minus 130 on the under.
Oh, for win totals. Season win totals. Here's the thing. The Patriots have a way of making names out of guys who previously didn't have names. I think they're still going to succeed, partly due to their weak division. I mean, they could probably win this division with 9 wins, 10 wins, and I'm not really that concerned about this Patriots team. I mean, concerned about them failing. I think they're going to still have a good season. You still have Belichick. You still have a very accurate Tom Brady.
Yes.
And I think they're going to make the playoffs, and that'll – and hopefully for them, if you're a Patriots fan, Gronkowski's healthy by then. Then you got Gronkowski, Brandon Lloyd –
Stop Danny mentioning Amendola. Brandon Lloyd as this big playmaker. Right,
well,
look,
he's not a big playmaker, but he helps stretch the field.
I agree. If anyone can figure this out, it's going to be Belichick and Josh McDaniels. Don't disagree with that. What I do, I think the big question mark will be not can they replace these guys, because they can't. Flat out, you're not replacing Aaron Hernandez or Wes Welker, in my opinion. But is the lack of Aaron Hernandez and Wes Welker getting open for those quick passes – because that's what teams do. They just play up close to the line. They don't have a deep game for the most part. But is the lack of these players going to exploit the offensive line? And is Brady going to get hit? Because that was what did Ryan Clark say on the Steelers? You could tell Brady was flinching.
Yeah.
So if Brady clearly still has
issues,
skeletons in his closet about his knee. And if the extra half second that these replacement players need to get open, and the fact that he's played with Wes Welker for years. He hasn't played with Danny Amendola for years. That
right.
Timing, the option routes, is he going to take more hits? If you ask me if I still think they're going to win the division, probably.
Right. But then you have to factor Gronkowski in then, because he's going to be fine by the time they get to the playoffs.
I would bet a year's salary that they don't win the AFC. I mean, I just don't. They're 3-1 to win the AFC. Denver's plus 2.
Wow, that doesn't seem.
That's too high. They're not winning the AFC.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think they're going to succeed in the playoffs. But
and honestly, I do think shockingly, I can't believe I'm saying this based on Hard Knocks last year, Miami seems to have it together. And.
Yeah,
they seem to be on the right path. Now, will not having Reggie Bush hurt them? I don't know.
Miami also seems like a team that maybe we're getting to a little ahead of. Like, they maybe won some games. They're kind of like the buzz team. Like, oh, they're going to make that next step. And
they're the Houston Texans like 6 years ago.
About to say the Houston Texans. I don't know if they're quite there yet. Houston Texans now, maybe that's a team who wins the AFC this year.
Well, if you think
why not the Ravens again?
Well, what I was going to say is if you like any teams in the AFC besides the Broncos.
Or the Patriots?
So the Broncos are plus 260.
For the AFC?
Yeah.
Patriots are. Is there a way to short that?
I think the World Sports Exchange allows you to do something similar. The New England Patriots are 3-1. The Houston Texans are plus 650. And then it drops off to... Ravens 14-1, Bengals 18-1, Steelers 15-1.
What are the Kansas City Chiefs?
25-1.
Kansas City?
Yeah.
What are they to win the AFC West?
I mean, that's when we talked about. I like that over.
What's their over at?
It's
like 5.5.
It was 6.5, I believe. Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. Oh, it's 7.5 now. It moved.
Oh wow.
Should have grabbed that earlier.
They're hearing us talking about it. Giants 9 wins.
All right,
it's
so
high.
Stop.
High,
it.
Ryan.
What are we talking about? Why are we talking about the Giants?
All right, so
Kansas City. See, Broncos are minus 600 to win their division. So there's obviously value in the other teams if you like them. Kansas City at 8-1 to win their division.
A lot of good players.
You're telling me there's a considerable bet. What they're saying is there's an equivalent. The Broncos are more than 2 times more likely to win the conference than the Chiefs are to win the division.
Yeah, that seems a little crazy to me.
And then on the hindsight, I guess we – or not hindsight, but on the flip side, we should look at the AFC East. Because – so the Patriots are still minus 400.
But who do you like in this division?
I would throw – I would sprinkle a couple bucks on Miami at plus 450. All right, because the other teams are absurd. Jets 18-1 to win a division. Bills 13-1. Like, those numbers don't add up.
Jets are 18-1.
Jets are 18-1. Now,
there
granted,
might even be a little value there.
There's value in it. Well, any team 18-1 in the NFL to win a division is, especially a team that has, they can
Pro
go.
Bowlers.
They could go 9 and. I mean, if you asked me if the Jets could go 9-7. That wouldn't be crazy.
And the Patriots could go 9-7. They could win the tiebreaker.
It's just
Ryan. Did you see speaking of Jets, Mark Sanchez, semi naked Mark Sanchez.
Oh, I thought you were going released. A different angle with this because there's another story about that. But go on.
Oh yeah, well there. I think it's on Terrez Owens. There's a
what is Terrez Owens?
Oh, you haven't seen that?
Who is that?
Oh, it's like the sports
Perez
like,
Hilton.
Sports Perez Hilton. Basically, they have a video of him. He's got his bathing suit halfway down, his butt's exposed, and he's like dancing around with these chicks. It's a lot of cleavage. It's kind of the chicks are hot, and they're like blowing some smoke. It's like him partying with these chicks.
Can't hate on Mark Sanchez for that.
No, I don't know.
I mean, the fact that he's not good. Probably shouldn't let that shit surface to the internet, but
just say put the video camera away, yeah. Sweetie.
Yeah. So did you see? Did you see what Geno Smith said?
No.
Hey Geno, you gonna be attending Mark Sanchez's passing camp out in California this summer?
Wow.
I don't know. We'll see. Not a good start for the Jets.
I don't know. We'll see.
Not a good start.
Why would he go to Mark Sanchez's passing camp?
To get time with all the receivers he's going to be throwing to.
Oh, all the receivers are going.
Yeah, it's a pass. Okay. It's not a camp, sorry. He has all the receivers come out and the other quarterbacks, and they throw.
Oh, okay.
It's common. Eli does the same thing with the Giants. Yeah. It's one of those things you do because you can't have you can't have official organized team activity, so the quarterback just invites all the receivers out, usually to some sort of nice place. And they fucking throw a football around. It makes sense, right? You want to get your timing down.
Yeah. I just thought the idea of Mark Sanchez teaching someone how to throw the football, I'd be like, no, I'm not going to listen to you, Mark Sanchez. Yeah,
at the Mark Sanchez passing camp, it's just learning how to pass the blunt.
He's going to teach it. It's a 3-day intensive course on butt fumbling. They have like a giant offensive lineman's ass that you run into head first and fumble the ball. On Thanksgiving. God, was that an awesome. That was one of the greatest gambling moments of last season was when I bet the New England Patriots over 27.5 points. They score a touchdown in the first quarter. I'm like, okay, on pace for 28. And then just 3 touchdowns in 35 seconds. Amazing. Well, Ryan.
Real quick before we get off the NFL. Sean,
sure. 71 days till football.
And in case you guys were ever wondering this, or this is often a fun thing to just make your homepage at work on your work computer. How many days until football.com? What that will do is it takes you to a page. Sean can describe it. It just has a big number.
Baltimore Ravens at Denver Broncos, Thursday, September 5th, 2013, 8:30 East.
Ingenious. This guy must get incredible amounts of traffic.
It really is the
for
greatest.
Doing absolutely nothing. And at the bottom it says NFL, you're not your thing, try hockey. So anyway, pretty stoked. NFL is way cooler than all these other stupid sports.
Well, Ryan, transitioning from one pick I was right about to another pick I was right about. The
wait, are you taking credit for the Aaron Hernandez murder? We both had murder, I think. I think we both had first degree murder. I had over on the second degree murder.
I pounded the over 1.5 on the gun charges. So
five
charges total, 2 guns, which is impressive because I don't think they've recovered the gun. But maybe that's one of those things they just throw as much as they can, assuming they're going to get some of it to stick. Game 7, NBA Finals. LeBron James brings home another championship. Heat win in 7 as predicted. I had Heat in 7. I think I did pretty good on my player props as well. Tim Duncan over 10 rebounds a game. That was my big prop bet. And, yes, also hit on the second half there, Game 7.
Are we done talking about, like, LeBron James not being good at basketball now?
No.
Not yet?
No. I mean, I think that definitely secures a lot more of his legacy.
So one quick interesting – great game. The Heat, clearly the better team. I mean, really, LeBron James, clearly the best player.
Yeah, I think that was
But one interesting point, because I tweeted out that LeBron is better than Jordan, which I stand by. And eventually, all you idiots will figure out that I'm right. Talking to some folks about that. In fact, got some Twitter feedback and kind of going back and forth. But one of the things I would like to point out is, first of all, I would have loved to see Jordan and Pippen play in today's game. You have a guy who... Yeah, it's conspiracy theories, but who was suspended from the NBA for 2 years for gambling,
yeah,
slash played baseball, had all sorts of issues. And Scottie Pippen, who, did you know this, Sean? Scottie Pippen's broke.
Yeah.
Okay. Who knows if these guys would have played for as long in today's game? LeBron, have you ever heard of LeBron getting in any trouble?
Nope, not yet.
LeBron James has almost reached a Derek Jeter status, where you are the man... In a city where you can get into all sorts of trouble and nothing comes out.
Yeah, which is weird because I understand New York, everyone's a Yankees fan. They kind of want to keep it in-house. But Miami seems just like tabloid journalism, sensationalism.
Yeah.
But, I that's the weird thing. As much as there are LeBron haters out there, you got to, I guess, commend him at... I mean, he did such a poor job of managing his image with the decision, but seemingly you don't... I mean, I'm sure he cheats on his girlfriend or wife, but you certainly don't hear about it.
You know what? I don't have a problem with the decision. I don't think I ever really had a problem. I thought it was kind of stupid, but at the end of the day, he never got to be really recruited, right?
Yeah.
Like, he decided he was going to the NBA in, like, his sophomore year in high school. He wanted to leave early after his junior year. He never got to have that recruiting sensation where people had to drool over you, you know? Like, professional people have to, like, suck
your
teeth. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah, it probably wasn't the smartest thing. And the fact that you could tell he didn't fully grasp the situation when he did it at a Boys and Girls Club of America, trying to, like, act like that would make it okay. But
yeah, very weird. But, you got to – yeah, LeBron, it does seem weird, though. He does just, like – I don't understand why he's – he does seem like he's a good teammate to a fault.
Yeah.
Which can be frustrating when you're watching it, because when he decides to take over a game, it's so fun, it's so entertaining, it's so great to watch him dominate a game.
Yeah, it's just tough for him, because if he does that and it works out well, he gets the other players involved, it's like, look, LeBron got Ray Allen involved, that's how he hit that shot. If it doesn't work, why isn't LeBron being aggressive? Look, in 5 years when LeBron has, you know, 4 or 5 championships... Then we'll see. We'll see about all this talk.
No, and he's set to play. How old is he now?
28.
I mean, don't you think the physical specimen he is, even though he's putting a lot of miles on him, barring any sort of crazy injury?
He was born on December 30th, 1984. So let's figure. Let's say he's at least the physical. He's at least as durable as Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. And how old's Kobe Bryant? 37? I say LeBron probably has another...
34.
34 only.
That's shocking.
Well, I guess it's just because we've known him for so long.
He started a year earlier.
Okay, so...
And he played a lot more games. Maybe not, actually.
No, because they've both been on
deep
a lot
in the
of
playoffs.
Playoff teams. So, I don't know.
I'd say... So, at a minimum, Kobe's still playing at the highest level.
Yeah.
So at a minimum, LeBron has, I'd say, I would argue that he has 6 to 8 years left playing at a high level. Which,
yeah, I mean,
also with him, because he doesn't have to constantly make insanely hard shots, he might be able to play longer. Not to mention he's physically, you know, he's probably the thing that people study when they look at human evolution. Like in 1,000 years, they're going to look at LeBron James as like the first step to when humans became like superhumans.
So, yeah, we're looking at 8 years. If he wins half those half those years he wins titles and he has six titles, I think you'd have a very good argument.
He's going to win next year. I think the league's in a state, unless Dwight Howard and Chris, unless there's something with Dwight Howard
again. He's garbage, Ryan.
Well, he may be garbage, but he's not. Him matched with a good team with players around him would not be a good matchup for the Heat.
I don't see it. The guy doesn't play hard.
Okay.
Well, you don't cut.
So you're forgetting when the Magic beat the Cavs.
How many years ago was that?
I'm just saying, him in the middle does not serve up a nice matchup for the Heat.
So you don't think he had good players around him in Los Angeles?
No. All right, time out. The Lakers were garbage. It was Dwight Howard and Kobe Bryant.
Okay.
And Dwight Howard was hurt half the year.
Okay.
You're not giving him credit for being hurt.
No, why should I? If you're hurt, don't play.
Well, then you'd say he's a pussy for not playing.
No, if his back is legitimately injured and he can't play.
No, you would totally call him a pussy for not playing.
Well, he is a pussy. He doesn't play hard.
You're blinded for some reason with this hate of Dwight Howard.
He's unlikable.
Anyway.
He's a douche.
I would say, barring something crazy, the Heat will win again next year. Look, the Spurs are going to go away. The Thunder are the team that you got to worry about. But I don't think they can match up with the Heat.
Well, they shoot too many jump shots. If they adjust their game.
Speaking of the Thunder, Sean, Kevin Durant just signed with Roc Nation Sports.
Yeah, Jay-Z is going to take over the world. All right, Ryan. Well, real quick, Doc Rivers officially goes through to the Clippers. Still have trouble grasping why the NBA won't let him also trade Kevin Garnett.
It's because the NBA has – here's what I don't get. The NBA claims they have a rule where you can't have one trade contingent on another. But isn't that essentially what any three-team trade is?
Yeah, why can't you trade two guys at the same time? Why does that make
you can.
No, you can't. They said you can't.
No, they said you can't have two separate deals contingent on each other. I don't know.
You did one deal where you traded both them? That makes no sense.
I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't make it. Once again, the NBA is retarded.
So retarded. Okay. NHL, Game 7. Game 6.
Yeah.
Supposed to go to a Game 7. Bruins were up 2-1.
Yeah, wow. I mean, look, all was right with the world. Boston lost, which is great. But, I mean, look, Chicago was the best team in the league. They had a historic year. They should have been the team that won. That's all we have. Now, that being said, I will say I turned the Game 6 on with about 8 minutes to go, and it was one of the more exciting sporting events I ever watched. Just to see them take the lead, Boston fans are going crazy, and then for Chicago to tie it up and then 20 seconds later score the winning goal with less than a minute left and just see that the air just let out of that arena in Boston.
That's got to be a great feeling, winning. Now, that's a good poll question, Ryan. What would you rather do, win a championship on your own home ice or win it on someone else's?
No, you have the parade. You always have the parade. You're going to see your fans.
Yeah.
Winning it on the road has got to be the sweetest thing.
Yeah, there's got to be some that dagger of just, oh, man.
Yeah, because you know you're going home, and you're going to
have
a sweet
parade. That is one thing
I'm
going to remember from this Heat-Spurs playoff series is when they started roping off the people in Game 6, bringing out that rope, getting ready for the presentation of the trophy. And then the Heat came back. So
and the image of the Heat fans. Look, here's the thing.
That's another great one.
Here's the thing. Now, I can't say never here because I'm sure I've been in a situation with other people who wanted to leave early. But you don't leave. I've never left. I rarely leave a regular sporting event early. I've never left a playoff event early. You don't leave game. It wasn't like it was a 40-point game.
It's an NBA Finals.
You paid. Look. The amount of time, I'm going to stay anyway, but if you're just a casual fan who needs a fan-up video, like these Miami idiots. By the way, you can't, that video was taken offline. You can't find – I couldn't find it online. You don't leave. You paid hundreds of dollars for these tickets. Worst case, you're in the upper deck and you paid, what, 70 bucks, 50 bucks?
I don't see how you get into that game under 100 bucks.
What are you doing leaving early?
What's so exciting about your life you're getting back to?
What was the biggest score margin?
They left, I think it was like 6 points or 5 points difference.
It's not 25 points with two to go.
Ryan, speaking of which, our rec league basketball team, we were in the B League championship. Well, basically the lower division. We didn't make the top portion of the playoff seating, but we were in the lower bracket, won our first game. Won the first game, we went into double overtime. In double overtime, they make it whoever scores first.
Yeah, that's a common L.A. rule.
Yeah, and our guy got fouled, hit the second free throw, missed the first one. So we won that game to send us to the finals of the lower division playoff seed. Now, we were down, it was 49-44, I think with maybe like 2 minutes left. I hit back-to-back shots.
You did, Sean.
49-48. Our other buddy, Cornell Reed, hit two free throws to bring us up 50-49, and we ended up winning the game 50-49.
Yeah.
Exciting championship.
In my epic return.
Yeah. The same team that took you out, the same team that blew out your ankle.
Was that the team that I got hurt playing?
Yeah, no, it definitely was. Oh. That one guy just wasn't there, so.
Those motherfuckers.
Also got into it with guys. The one guy.
Yeah.
He's a very chippy player. All right, good times. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the podcast. You can check us out on Twitter and now on Facebook. Facebook.com/ Sports Gambling Podcast. Check that out on
Technology.
Twitter. Stitcher, iTunes, rate, review, share. We're always here. And, of course, the T-shirts. Scorebig.com. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in the podcast. I am Sean, stacking the Muddy Green, and he is Ryan.
Everyone needs to get online and vote Yasiel Puig into the MLB All-Star Game. Oh, you can't.
Kramer, let it ride.